Brother Glenn was testing the scriptures this afternoon. He tried to walk on water, amen. I would have to say you were semi-successful, amen. Okay. He was semi-successful walking on water, all right. And that's how many of you are familiar with spiritual gifts? Yeah. Any prophets in the house? Yeah. I have three mercies in my house. Three of them. Brother Scott, that just doesn't seem reasonable, you know. Well, I just started picking on Brother Bond. All three of them are back there going, you know. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. The whole pack of them. Now, that's their theory, amen. that's what they say. say, huh? Oh, no, that was it. That's all I'm going to tell you. But now, I suspect he may have more to add on this, okay. All right. But I've got him started now, amen. Wasn't that a good service this morning? You know, if you missed that service this morning, you missed a blessing. And we began our tract outreach month this Sunday. And I'm excited about the number of tracts that went out from people who are committed to pass those out. If you weren't here this morning, we divided into two teams. And we encourage folks to pass out tracts in the coming week. And when you come back next weekend, next Sunday, to remember about how many you passed out so we can total them up and see if we can reach our goal for the month. And so we're looking forward to that and what God does with all that seed. Amen. And we asked Brother Bond to come in and get us started, and he's going to come back tonight and preach to us. And after he tells the story about walking on water. Amen. And then you'll all know what's going on, okay? And our mercies can go. So they're still doing it. Okay. Come on, preach, brother.
All right. We're opening our Bible. No. Well, I will tell you the truth, and I won't stretch it. Preachers never lie. But they are really reckless at the truth sometimes. And I will admonish you to follow the leadership of your pastor. That being said, we have discovered that the roast was roasted on one side well, and on the other side, it was still squealing. Being a man and loving good food, I love a little charcoal on my meat, seriously. And so I was snacking on it. And I said, "Preacher, can I help you?" And here's his words: "Follow me." And so I walked out his back of the garage door onto the patio. And as we were walking, he took a left. And I saw the barbecue pit over there. And I said, "Man, that is something." I said, "That's a nice barbecue." "What?" And I had walked on to that cover that he had on that swimming pool. I knew I was in trouble when it gave way. And immediately recognizing my situation, I put that piece of pork in my mouth so I wouldn't lose it. And I was chewing and swallowing as I went face first with my suit and all into the water. And I want to tell you something. Fat people do move quickly. Before Brother Tom could say, "Are you all right?" I was out of that pool. I mean, you know, I looked like an elephant that had fallen off its skis. You know what I mean? And so by the time I hit that pool and turned around, here's how quick it happened. He hadn't gotten over there yet, and he was coming pretty quick. And by the time he got there, I was out. And let me say this, it happened so fast that all that got wet was all my front and none of my back. So my New Testament was spared. My tracts were not. And then I had the privilege of donning his clothes. Now, 130 pounds ago, I could have fit those clothes. But now I couldn't. And I cinched up the belt. I pulled them all the way up to here. I looked like a fat version of Urkel. I cinched them down and I counted the spaces. There were 9 holes to the end of that thing. And I looked at Brother Tom and I said, I think you need to lose a little weight. And so we put it in the dryer and lo and behold, everything came out perfect. And it smells a little chlorine-ish, but it really came in good. But I did test the waters. None of you had the faith to do it, but I just decided to, you know. Now, there's a great illustration there. When your pastor says, follow me, don't go your own way. You might drown. Amen. I'm telling, somehow I'm going to make that a Boudreaux joke. I don't know how I'm going to do that. You know, I had the privilege of leading Boudreaux and Thibodeau to the Lord in my lifetime, a couple of each. And I love Boudreaux and Thibodeau. And I told you they'd show up tonight. I remember old Boudreaux, he was walking through the city, you know, and he was going through the city park and he done seen this big well there. And a sign said, wishing well, drop the money in and make a wish. So he reached over there and he threw a penny in the bottom of that well, man, and kaplunk, made his wish and turned around. And Colette liked that. She said, boy, I'm going to make me one of them wishes too. And she walked over there and she bent over to put that coin in there. She fell in and he said, man, that's a good will. My wish come true. You heard about Colette's problem with hearing. Boudreaux had gone to the doctor and he was talking to the doctor and said, Doc, you know, I don't think Colette hear too good, no. You need to really help me on that. He said, well, listen, I'll tell you how we'll handle this. When you go home tonight, ask her a question. And if you don't get an answer, just go up a little bit further and ask her again until you finally get an answer and you'll know about how good she can hear. So he walked in the door and said, Colette, baby, said, what's for supper? Nothing. He walked a little bit further into the living room, said, baby, what's for supper? Nothing. He walked into the dining room and said, baby, what's for supper? And he walked up to the kitchen door and it swung open. He said, baby, what's for supper? And she said, spaghetti and meatballs, you fool, for the fourth time. You heard about Marie. She was a Boudreaux had gone out to run them crawfish trap. He come back and boy, it's one of them hot Louisiana days. You know what them are. And I mean, you're sweating bullets you know, they don't got them air conditioned, you know. And he walked in there and Colette, she was in there painting them kitchen. And she was painting them kitchen. She had 2 great big overcoat on. And Boudreaux said, man, what are you doing? You some kind of crazy person or something there, girl. And she said, man, I done read them instructions. She said, what did the instructions say? She said, it always works better if you got 2 coats on. You're going to catch that in a minute, okay? You did hear about Boudreaux going to the movies for the first time in his life. He went to the movies and the usher come by and he was all sprawled out about the back row back there. And the usher said, hey, man, you can't sit like that. You only pay for 1 ticket. You got to sit up. And Boudreaux was, he just kept laying there and he got the manager and came out there and said, listen, that boy told you to get up. You can only pay for 1 ticket. You can't spread yourself across like that. Boudreaux said, And so they called a cop in. The cop came up to him and said, sir, he said, I'm going to have to arrest you if you don't get up there and sit up straight. He said, where do you come from? And Boudreaux goes, the balcony. That's terrible, isn't it? You did hear about Boudreaux driving down the Interstate 10, you know, and the people were flying by him 90 miles an hour and they were giving him their IQ. And they were saying all those sweet words to him and Boudreaux just kept driving that 10 miles an hour. And about that time, a cop pulled up behind him and said, boy, pull over. And he pulled over and said, man, you know how fast you were going? He said, man, I wasn't breaking no law. I was going 10 miles an hour. He said, man, he said, don't you know the speed limit over here is 70 miles an hour? He said, not according to that sign right there. It says 10. And the police officer looked at him and said, "Man, that's the interstate number." He looked over there and Thibodeau was in that a seat on the driver's side. He said, "Man, what's wrong with you?" He said, "I wish you'd have untold him before we got off of 95. You know, some of these you have to think through. Amen. You did hear about Bojo and his wife, Colette. Bojo was driving down the road the other day with his wife and his mother-in-law in the car. And every couple of minutes, someone would make a comment about his driving. You fellas know what I'm talking about. Slow down. Watch out for that other car. You're too close. Don't drive so close to the center line. Look out." Etc., etc., etc. After a while, it began to wear on Bojo. And he pulled off to the side of the road. He said, "All right, look here. Who's driving this car? You or your mama?" "You'll get it in a minute." Okay. Sure did take a long time on that one. Amen. You did hear about Bojo buying his wife a 3-carat diamond for Christmas. And his friend Thibodeau said, "Boy, you know she didn't want no diamond ring for Christmas." He said, "I know that." He said, "She wanted one of them Mercedes-Benz." He said, "Yeah, but you can't buy a fake Mercedes-Benz." I told you Bojo would show up. Matthew chapter 9 tonight. Matthew chapter 9. I appreciate so much you allowing me to come. It's always a joy to be with you. Y'all have such a sweet spirit. And I enjoy being here. It's good to hear from Miss Bethany this morning. I do wish you would pray much for Ireland. My friends and my family come from Scotland. And we were cast out at the Irish-Scottish War against England and sent over as slaves to America, indentured servants. So there are more slaves than black slaves. And we survived it all, and I don't have a grudge against anyone. Amen. Matthew chapter 9 tonight, we'll begin reading in verse number 37. Where is Matthew chapter 9? Right behind Matthew 8, and just before Matthew 10. And we're going to go over here to Matthew number 9. And we're going to look at verse number 37. Jesus is speaking to his disciples. And he says this: "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest." I want to speak tonight on a crazy subject that I came up with this past week. And here it is: tracks stay on the job. Tracks stay on the job. Let's make our prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that you love us and care for us. And Lord, we do desire to do thy will. And Father, I just pray you'd help me tonight. Give me a clarity of voice and thought. And Father, if I say anything I shouldn't say, then I ask you to hush me and sit me down. I do ask, Father, in Jesus' name, that you'd continue meeting with us tonight. Surely you met with us this morning. And Father, I'm so glad that you love me. I'm so glad that I can look upon these people tonight as brothers and sisters in Christ because you love them. And because of that love, we want a true heaven-sent revival, and it's simply falling back in love with you. And I pray you bless this tract ministry. I pray your lordship over it. And I pray you give us many, many instances of joy by handing tracts out and seeing people come to know the Lord. I pray, Father, through this month that there be no less than 5 people that will receive Christ, that will come to this church, that will follow in believers' baptism and begin training on how they can be a tract distributor. You can do that. It's not hard for you. It will be hard for us, but I believe that you can do it. In Jesus' name I ask it, and thank you, amen and amen. It's an amazing thing. I heard a story one day about a fellow who had a desire to reach other folks for the Lord Jesus Christ, and he really couldn't talk too well, and he didn't know a whole lot of verses, but he was talking to his friend. He said, "Can I give you what we call a track?" And the guy said, "Sure." Then his friend asked him, he said, "What in the world is a tract?" And he said, "Well, it's a piece of paper with the word of God written on it." And he also said it would show him how to go to heaven when he died. A few days later, he and his friend got into a conversation, and he said, what did you think of that track? He said, well, man, I'm going to tell you. He said, I read that piece of paper and I put it down. And I put it down on my coffee table. But something happened, man. I had to go to the little boy's room. And that piece of paper began to track me. He tracked me all the way into the little boy's room and I read it again. I got a little frustrated with it, so when I came out, I threw it on the kitchen table. But it was still tracking me. We had a little supper, and I reached over there, and I got frustrated again. I threw it over there next to my little table by the recliner. But it kept on tracking me. He said, I took that piece of paper, and I done read it again. And he said, I just got so upset with it, I went out in my shop, and I threw it down on the shop bench. But it kept tracking me. He said, finally, he said, I couldn't stand it. And the guy said, what in the world did you do? He said, well, I read it again. He said, I did what I said, and I got saved. He said, man, that's great. What happened then? He said, oh, it stopped tracking me. He said, what in the world did you do with it? He said, oh, I gave it to my wife, and it's tracking her now. You ought to look at a piece of paper called a track like that. You ought to look at that thing and realize, oh, that's Spanish. And that's Spanish. And that's Spanish. Chinese, Korean. Oh, there's English. You ought to look at these pieces of paper as the Word of God, and that's really what they are. And I want you to understand that comparatively, most Christians do not realize the importance of handing out a tract. Oh, I found another one. Someone was so kind today, they put this on my windshield. Did anyone else find one on their windshield? Okay, you count them up, brethren. They don't count. I think it was my team captain. Have you noticed we've had an adjustment in the captains tonight on the board? This one grew a mustache. Of course, that must be Brother R. Johnson's team. Amen? So you know which team you belong to. Look for the guy with a long mustache. I want to tell you that having tracts and distributing tracts have some great advantages over other forms of Christian work. There is an important advantage of handing out tracts. Any person can do it. We can't all preach. I'm still trying to figure out how to do that. But we can all select useful tracts and then hand them out to others. It's a ministry in which every man and every woman and every child can engage in. A tract always sticks to the point. It never gets sidetracked. A tract never loses its temper. It always remains calm. I was knocking on the door one time and the fellow came to the door, and I noticed when he came to the door through the glass on his door that he set his beer down and he took his cigarette and put it behind him. And I said, how you doing? I'm Glenn Bond. I'm out visiting for this church, and I just wanted to give you this. And I started to hand him a tract and he took it, and I began to talk to him, and then I realized he was smoking. And I thought to myself, I don't think handing him a tract is enough. I'll just go ahead and give him the gospel. And I knew he wasn't ready to listen. I knew he wasn't ready to hear me. And I did it long enough until that cigarette burnt his hand. Ow! Get out of here! He lost his temper, but he still had the tract. Oftentimes, people who are too proud to be talked to, or if you please, too, listen, they will read a tract when no one is looking, or pick up a tract if you leave it on a table or in some other place where they come, at, you know, where they come by accidentally. And that tract could lead to their salvation. I travel a lot and I put tracts everywhere. If you go to the rest areas, I sprinkle them everywhere in the rest area. And my wife does the same. I want you to understand a tract is usually kept by the person that gets it. And by the way, you'll never know where that track is going to will end up. And you've heard the story this morning. But tracks lead many people to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. When I first got saved and went to college, while I was in college, I wrote a track. And it's called The Proper Way. And I want you to know that it works. Say, how do you know it works? Well, this is the first one. First track ever sent in. This guy lived in Jacksonville, Florida. His name was George Salama. And he got saved. Here's another Proper Way track. This guy was in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, and his name was Gregory Block. Someone says it don't work. Well, don't tell Clifford Harris that it doesn't work over in Chiefland, Florida. And don't tell Michelle Johnson over in Denver Springs that it doesn't work. I surely don't expect you to tell this fellow, Christopher Hammer. He said, thank you, Glenn. You're a good person. I guess he didn't really know me. Enjoy your new caravan dealership. Interesting, as time went on, the changes colored, a color change. And anybody know Buddy Fuentes? He was a police officer that I handed a track to while he was working on an accident. Baton Rouge police officer. He was 51 years old and he got saved. Here's another one. Interesting one. This here is from William Earl Paul in Tickfall, Louisiana. People are hurting, folks. This might be the only way out. Please give me the opportunity to introduce myself to you. My name is William Earl Paul, and I am 22 years old. I'm writing you because I filled out that track, and I feel that you all could help me get a closer walk with the Lord. I've been through a lot of changes in my life, and I really need some help because I feel that I'm headed for destruction. So if you would you please write me back and send me some material that will help me learn more about the one I just got saved by. You say, do they work? Oh, I've got a file full of them. We got serious one time and started telling people about Jesus, and all of a sudden God got serious and said, we're going to let them listen. A friend of mine called me. I'd known him all my life, well, most of my life. A fellow named Jimbo Robertson. Anybody ever hear of him? Jimbo does the, used to make a lure called the Slam Dunk Lure. That baby right there. Jimbo went to the guy that led me to the Lord. He said, I've watched Glenn Bond for 20 years. And he said, I want what he has. He's not varied. He's not changed. And Buddy Blackwell led him to the Lord over in Exxon. Jimbo got so excited about it, he was doing a little business on the side. He had a lure company called the Slam Dunk Lure Company. And the guy that took the second place in the Bassmaster Classic used his Slam Dunk jig. He called me. I didn't know he had gotten saved. And he said this. He said, Brother Glenn. And I knew something was up because he called me brother. I said, hey, Jimbo, how are you? He said, I got saved. And I'm excited about being saved, and I need some tracks. I need a piece of paper that I can put in my baits that'll tell others of Jesus, and that some of these fishermen that I love would get saved. I said, well, Jimbo, how many do you need? He said, I need 50,000 of them. And you know how much tracks are. Preacher does. And I said, I'm going to have to change the address. I've made a move. And I said, I'm going to have to change the address on them. He said, I want you to deal with them. And I said, I'll do it. He said, well, let me know when you have them. He said, I'll be willing to pay for the first 10,000. I wonder who's going to pay for the other 40. So I prayed about it, went up in the Kansas City area, up in Shawnee Mission, Kansas, and I was up there with a friend of mine, Kevin Metzinger, doing a revival meeting there, and I shared with him Jimbo's testimony and what he wanted to do. And he said, you know, we just got a new printer. I said, you did? I said, do you print? He said, absolutely not. He said, but my associate pastor is a proficient printer. So he called Jeff Quigley in the office and said, Jeff, he said, can we make those tracks? He said, oh, yeah. He said, all right, Brother Vaughn. I said, well, how much it costs? He said, we'll let you know. After his meeting, I went to another meeting, and by the time I got home, there's a bunch, a myriad, so many boxes at my side door under the canopy with 50,000 tracks in it. But the note is, God will take care of this. Within 3 weeks, we had that boy's tracks. There was only one problem. The track were not cut and they weren't folded. I checked with these people around there and some people I knew, and they said the least we could do it for is between $700 and $800. Now, I want you to know, evangelists don't have that kind of money, not the ones I know. I'm not a man of gold, I'm a man of God. And so I didn't have the money, but I prayed. And then when I was sharing it with my pastor, he said, our church will have those cut and folded, and you'll have them by the weekend. So we started that track ministry, and we have received many of these tracks back. Giving out a track works. Anyone can do it. You have all kinds of tracks you can get for every occasion. If you're having a problem with Halloween, I have a problem with Halloween. I promised the people I talked to during that time of the year, if you can show me one thing that honors God, I'll put on a gorilla suit and go get the candy. I said, they said, what about Easter? Honors God. What about Thanksgiving? Honors God. What about Mardi Gras? Doesn't honor God. What about Christmas? Honors God. I said, I don't know about you, but I love those times of the year because they bring forth Jesus to many people who have never seen or heard of Him before. So I want you to understand, you need to get a variety of tracks. You need to get some kids' tracks. Don't be satisfied with just a chick track. And by the way, can I tell you something why Mr. Chick does those tracks? He learned a great lesson from a communist red Chinese named Mao Tse-tung. You know what that guy did? He went to college in America, and he saw something unusual, and he said, I can use that to take over a country. He saw the American people using funny books and comic books. He took it back, the idea, back over to China, and he made it into a cartoon form, and he put it into a red book, and they still use them today in China. It's amazing. He took that which we use right now for tracks. So Chick decided to do that. He's got a lot of tracks. Got them for every season of the year. They're exciting. By the way, a track can be distributed by anyone no matter what their age. And a track, by the way, provides an easy way to break the ice or open a door for witness. Tracks eliminate a problem that I'm beginning to have called forgetfulness. Sometimes you just forget what to say. The message, since it's printed, can be taken home, by the way, and reread and studied. Tracts can be passed along and can therefore be used over and over again, and tracts can be mass distributed easily. I think your goals are low. And I think God is going to surprise you and even the pastor this week. I want you to understand that tracts are relatively inexpensive, and they can be handed out liberally. Now, I want to give you some keys to successful tract distribution. Success in witnessing and tract distribution is simply this: sharing Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit and leaving the results to God. Basically, that was what the preacher told you this morning. So, therefore, it is no substitute for prayer. So what you should do before you hand your tract out is bathe your tracts in prayer. Because the Bible tells us pray without ceasing, and you put the power of God behind that piece of paper and it works. Always have a variety of tracts And look for reasons and places to use them. Look for the opportunity to use tracts. Take advantage of every situation. As in all things, be pleasant, be polite, because you represent the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be representing Grace Baptist Church. Do not become discouraged, especially if you don't see the amount of decisions you want to see. Just remember this, God wrote it, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. He also said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, and if we faint not, one soweth, another reapeth. Distribution of tracts needs to be plentiful and persistent. He who soweth sparingly shall also receive sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You need to understand how to use a tract, because the preferred method is to hand a tract to a person and maybe at the same time give somewhat of a witness with words like, may I share this with you? Or like the young man said, I've got something for you. Or let me ask you just one question. You'd be surprised how few words of testimony will be helpful. Simply reading the tract, by the way, to a person may be a great approach. Give tracts to your friends. Give tracts to your acquaintances. Give them out everywhere. Give them to strangers in a restaurant. Now listen, if you're not going to tip anybody, don't be so stupid to leave the tract there with the preacher's name on it. Okay? When I walk out of Brother Ward's hotel tomorrow, I'll put a $5 bill in a tract and thank the people for the service. You're in a hotel or motel and you leave that place, don't leave a tract by unless you're going to put a tip in it. I want you to know lost people are attracted to money. And they'll think if you're willing to give them $5 or something they're getting paid for already, it might be important for them to read that. You don't know whether they're going to get saved or not. That little lady will be serving breakfast to get a $5 tip from me tomorrow in a tract. So why do you do that? Money is no object. God's got plenty of it. And the gospel needs to go out. And if it'll encourage someone to pick it up, do it. I'm just trying to give you a helping hand. Amen. Don't forget the grocery store. Don't forget the gas station. Listen, don't forget the banker. Don't forget leaving one on the seat in an airplane or in a taxi. And if you're at a bus or something like that, don't forget to hand those out. Give one to your mailman or lady. I always give every year at Christmas time, with the exception of the year before last when I had the surgery, I would take and make a pecan pie for every one of my neighbors. There's 10 of them. And I would put them in a Ziploc bag and I would go by and I'd take it and I would put it on the doorstep or over there where it would be covered in case it rained. Every one of them are expecting it now. I've done it for 14 years. In fact, my neighbor next door told me, she said, Brother Bond, what happened to my pecan pie this year? She said, and that piece of paper you gave me. Use any way and every way to get it out. When someone comes to your door, they ought to walk out with a tract. Hey, when the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormons come to your door, I dare you to challenge them to take your piece of material. The Mormons will take it and throw it away. The Jehovah's Witness will not take it. I always tell them, why should I take yours? You can leave now. I try to be kind. Amen. For one reason or another, it may not be possible to talk with a particular person, but you know, in those cases, just hand them a tract. I mean, it's not that hard. You just walk up to him and say, how are you today? And you say, good. Take that and read that, man. Amen. It's easy. And if you're not real quick with that, get them to say, what's that? And turn around, you know, run. Tracts can be handed out in shopping malls and in parks and sporting events and other places like that. We were pulling out Saturday morning from Waddell and Mormons showed up in four-wheel drive vehicle. I always thought they would use 10-speed religion, but now they're using four-wheel drive. But we had already reached out to the people in that area, and most people wouldn't listen, so they got in their vehicle. You can get them out of the LSU game. I remember going to the LSU game last year, and I'm going to tell you something. I had a great time, but you know, you got to get there early. We got there an hour and 45 minutes early. And I started handing out tracts and to the couple behind me. And finally, I asked the man and the lady, I said, listen, if you die today, you're going to go to heaven? And the woman said, not me. And the man said, well, me either. I said, would it interest you to know how to get there? And they said, well, sure. And about 35, 45 minutes later, they were both bowing their heads and receiving Christ. LSU did win a game, at least that one. And I got ready to leave, and that man stepped down from his seat and came down to me and hugged my neck. And he said, I never thought I'd go to Death Valley and find life. You can hand them out anywhere, folks. Tracts can be handed out anywhere. You can place a tract in the mail. You can place a tract in your business mail. You can place it in your bills. You can place it in your statements. You can put it in your bank deposits. Every time you make a deposit, give them a tract. They're going to think you're an idiot, but they think that already. Amen. Listen, send some person you know that's lost a tract. Go to a hospital and talk to the nurses and tell them they can have the rest of the day off with pay if they'll let you hand these pieces of paper out to those that are hurting. And they'll let you do it. You know, when someone dies and the family loses a loved one, they send you a little card to thank you for that, what you did for them. But it's a great time to put a tract in a return letter. Also, you can always, always, always put a tract in a newlywed's gift. I'll never forget the time that Bruce and Robbie Bailey got married. I'll have to tell you that on the sly. That was a great time, man. But you can include a tract at any time. You can, by the way, when you're over there and they're oogling and ogling over the babies in there, you could hand out a tract. I've always amazed me how people will look into that big window and they'll see all those babies and they say, wow, aren't they precious and aren't they cute? They sure are sweet. And I'm thinking to myself, it's red, it's wrinkled, can't talk good, can't see good, doesn't have any hair, doesn't have any teeth, and I'm there now and they don't say I'm precious and good and that sweet. Amen. You can hand them out anywhere. God's word should be handed out at every occasion. Never be ashamed, if you please, of distributing a tract. Many people hand out tracts to others as if they were ashamed. Well, you know, I'd like to give you this piece of paper. And I think of that donkey over there and Winnie the Pooh. Eeyore. I mean, just listen, you might as well walk off because, listen, if you're ashamed to hand it out, they want to listen to you. You're not going to incur favor with them. I mean, you're giving them something, folks, that could mean eternal death or eternal life. Let me give you this so you can read it later. I always hand out a tract and I said, hey, man, how you doing? I'm doing fine. Hey, listen, do me a favor. What's that? I said, it's just a small favor. Do me a favor. Take this and when you have an opportunity, when you're quiet time, take it and read it. And if it makes sense to you, do what it says. And if it doesn't, throw it in a trash can. Never had a person throw it in a trash can. You can do those things. It's so easy. It's not hard. The hard thing is getting it done. Now, I want to share with you just some things. You need to understand that you need to seek God's blessing upon the tract. Now, many of us gave out tracts and we were really excited and challenged to do it. But I dare say not one of us prayed over one. Bathe them in prayer. Don't give out a tract just to be giving out a tract. Whenever you hand out a tract or you mail out a tract, pray over it and ask God to use it. I mean, I pray over a tract like I pray over reading this Bible and preaching. And God can use it if we just give Him the opportunity. Now, I want you to remember our goal while we're going through this month. Reach as many people as possible with the gospel tract. The Bible says repentance and remissions of sin should be preached in His name among all nations. So then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You understand tonight that if you hand them a tract and they read that tract, they are actually hearing the word of God. Many who would never attend this church, many who would never open a Bible, will in fact read a tract. They will thereby hear the word of God and many will be saved. And you won't know it till you get to heaven. That's why I say let the results be that of God and don't you worry about it. Hey, listen, did you know if 1,000 people would each put out just 50 tracts per week, in 1 year, 2.6 million tracts will be handed out. Go a little bit further. If one person will be saved out of 1,000 of the tracts handed out, by the end of the year, there will be 26,000 people saved. Just a few minutes a day per person is all that's required to hand out this many tracts. While some of you, I like this Jean Summers, you know, she goes to the old people and teaches them. She's the oldest one there. She was over the table and she was trying to load up on tracts. And I said, she said, let's see, 50, 60, 70. You know, most of you took 10, 80. And I said, well, if you got that far, you might as well take 100. She said, that's what I want. I said, Miss Jean, what in the world? She said, well, I go in the nursing home and there's 150 people there. I think this side's ahead already. As my Father has sent me, God, Jesus said, even send I you. You can't preach. You may never become a missionary. But you can get the word of God out. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the labors are few. I was driving through Georgia at the peak of cotton season. And I looked across the field on the back road where I was going. And I thought for a minute I saw Tara, you know, the mansion over in Gone with the Wind. There were literally hundreds of acres of cotton. And God brought that verse to my mind. Don't you ever let anybody say, I can't do it. And there's really not a harvest. Because it'll make God a liar. He said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. Hey folks, a tract ministry will work. There's only one clue. I mean, actually, there's only one thing that'll stop it. You. When the Holy Spirit of God, when I leave this world, I want to leave behind five things. You say, Brother Bob, when you die, you're going to leave behind everything. I know that, but I want to leave five things behind. I want to leave a worn-out Bible. Studying of Jesus. This is my fifth one. I'm working on my sixth one. I'm giving one of these worn-out Bibles to each one of my kids. That's all they're going to get from me for after I die. Now, my wife can give me anything she wants, but that's what I'm going to give them. This is what will be important. Got their names written in it. All my kids are saved. All my grandkids are saved. And I thank God for that. When I go to heaven, I'll be there with most of the people I've loved all my life. My mama got saved. My 91-year-old grandmother, before she died, got saved reading my New Testament. I want to leave a worn-out Bible. I want to leave a good testimony. I want people to say, like they said to my great-great-great-grandfather, on his tombstone, it said, Robert Sheffy. The poor people will miss him. My great-grandmother began to pray that God would bring another preacher in the family. And my uncle said, I guess that's you. I want to leave behind a good tithing record. You say, what do you mean? I say, I don't want to steal anything from God. In fact, I wish I had enough to give God everything. I would like to do like J.B. Hunt's wife said to a friend of mine as she was flying. My friend was reading her Bible and J.B. Hunt's wife was sitting right next to her. And you're familiar with the Hunt, J.B. Hunt trucks. And she was, Virginia was talking to her and the lady pulled out her Bible and she said, ma'am, are you saved? And Miss Hunt said, honey, I've been saved a long time. She said, you don't know me, do you? She said, no. She gave her name. And so, well, I've heard of your freight line in Crumpy. And she said, that's amazing. He said, I've seen trucks all over the United States with J.B. Hunt on them. By the way, they have a governor on them. And if you drive the interstate, you'll probably break the law and pass them. But go ahead, I'll tell you about it later. But when she said that, she said, honey, when I got saved, my husband and I got saved, we prayed an unusual prayer. And they said this, we want to make God our partner. And we want to make God number one in our business. And we're promising God, we promised God that we would live off the 10% and give Him 90%. Truly, they weren't Baptists, I know. And Virginia asked her, and she said this to her. She said, Miss Hunt, how in the world can you live off of 10%? And she said, shucks, honey, it's easy to live off $10 million a year. Luke 6:38 was real to her. Give and it shall be given unto you. I'm amazed at some of the things I've seen and heard. And I'm amazed what God will do with a tract. And I can't imagine what will happen to Zachary, Louisiana, if just a few of you get serious in this ministry. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for loving us the way you do. Great singing tonight. Great words to the music. Lord God, we are so blessed for you to have given us the grace and the talents you've given us. And I thank you for this church and the worship of you. I thank you for the pastor of this church who has a missions heart. Father, you can't be on the mission field and come back home and take a church without loving missions. And Father, I look forward to great and mighty things for the missionaries that are represented on those walls out there. I pray the people in this church would get a burden and a desire to help those missionaries out even more. But Lord, right now we just pray that you'd give them a desire and a burden to reach the people of Zachary, Louisiana. There's people that are dying within the shadow of this steeple. They'll die and go to hell, some of them. None of them that do should be able to say, I never heard the truth. One day we'll face them one-on-one in a place called heaven. And they'll stand and we'll sit. The outcome of not receiving Christ. And there'll be tears in our eyes. There'll be sorrows in our heart. We will understand that God is not a loving God, only a loving God, but most importantly, He is a just God. And He gave them many opportunities. I pray, Father, we get serious about handing these tracts out. And I pray that you'd make it joyful. I pray, Father, that you would encourage and strengthen us. And I pray that this church would be the lighthouse it needs to be in this town. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.